Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. If you haven't listened and subscribed, please check out the newest shows from Walnut Grovecast, Bonnet Heads, and the Little House Book Club. They are available from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or just visit walnutgrovecast.com for more information. As always, these podcasts are free of charge as well as commercial free thanks to the following supporters: Chelsea Wofford, Andre Jarkison, Brian Mellenbacher, Leah Chiappino, Rhonda Ludwig, Kristen Hirsch, Margaret Loviska, Elizabeth Villamagna, Laura Solarin, Julia Schroeder, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV Podcast, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind Podcast, Tanya Weber, Alicia Murphy, Jennifer Jones, Marissa Baker, Kelly Milkey from the Dr. Quincast podcast, JJ Hurley, Robin Lee, Thoy Rodriguez, Matilda Smith Thompson, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, A Wonder Years podcast, Shannon Quinton, Rebecca Harris, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois Nishiyama, Peyton England, Laura Furman, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, Megan Parker, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten.tv podcast, Melissa Halfpint Gilbert, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, the No Agenda podcast, Sherry Benner, Lydia Kikuchi, Whitney Griggs, Julia Jin, Don Roberts, Susan King, Max Duration, Aaron Wortman, Liz Serha, Brian S., Bobby Young, Candy Gleason, Angie Zadava, Megan Eichner, Katie Bollinger, Jeannie Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Dean Almanzo Butler, Julia Monin, Whitney Cole, Rebecca Frederick, Anne Quinn, Jill Stellman, Dottie Cashin, Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Stacy Keller, Matt Mercier, Cheyenne Hampton, Stephanie Carnes, Alicia Olin, Rachel Barron, Jeannie Comer, Elvira Dubas, Stacey Corrigan. Thank you all for your support. You make this podcast possible, and in my eyes, this is truly your podcast. So if you have any ideas or suggestions, please feel free to reach out to me. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is playing. Hello, this is Mark, and you're listening to Walnut Grovecast. Today I have a very special guest from the other side of the planet. almost literally, I would say so. Lydia Kikuchi, how are you doing, Lydia?
I am terrific, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. It's evening here, it's early evening in New York, and it's kind of late morning over near you.
Yes, that's right.
Which are over the down under of Australia. Wonderful. Yes, is the weather exactly going all right over there?
Oh, it's fantastic today. I opened the window and there was this great breeze. The sun is out. It's a good day.
Sounds like New York.
Yeah.
Today we had a pretty decent day. So it was in the 50s. I don't know if that is. Hey, that's a good question. In Australia, it's Celsius, right? You don't use
Fahrenheit.
Right, yeah.
I learned this trick, though, with Fahrenheit, like, that apparently 50 is pretty much, like, it's 50% good. So, like, it could go bad, it could go good. At least that's what I learned.
In Fahrenheit, it makes almost no sense. So it's like, you know, 32 degrees is frozen, and water boils at like 212 degrees. You know.
Oh. Okay.
Hey, we make our own rules in this country.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. But today we're talking about an episode that I was supposed to actually review this episode last summer with somebody. And their connection futzed out, and we never revisited it. And I was just, I was watching, I'm like, I feel like I've made these notes before. And so I go on Google Docs I use for everything, and I'm like, it's all right there. So I added to my notes, but for the most part, my notes are spot on. They agreed with the current me.
Well, that's awesome. That's too easy then.
No, well, I did go through the whole thing, though. It's too easy. Sorry. It's a little House on the Prairie. Do you want to talk about the episode we're doing?
Sure. This episode is called Dance With Me. It's season 5, episode 17, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it aired January 22nd, 1979 in the US. I have no idea when it aired in Australia. I looked it up. I found nothing.
Well, if it's the time difference, it would have aired on the 23rd the next day at 11 a.m.
Well, there you go. See, some of us are built different, Mark. I didn't think about that. But
nonetheless, it's a cute episode.
Oh, it is. I love this episode, hence why I picked it.
We get introduced to Tobinow. Tobinow, for some reason, everybody knows who Toby is, but we've never heard of him before. And kind of...
I believe he was like one of those characters that kind of appears... Oh, no, he was in the Winoka episodes. At the beginning of the season, yeah, he won the lottery.
Hold on.
Is that ringing a bell?
No. I didn't know he was in that, though.
Yeah.
You know what? That is ringing a bell. Here, I'll ring my bell. This. So,
yes.
that is interesting. I totally forgot about that. I blocked him out.
Yeah, no, he's...
I blocked him out for good reason, maybe.
Yeah, that's not nice.
That's not nice. Come on, Lydia. So
he's old.
Well, he is played by Ray Bolger. Ray Bolger, of course, was the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
And, you know, he's considered a pretty big legend in Hollywood. He worked throughout his entire career, very much going back to the 1920s. So he made his way throughout a lot of different TV shows, even Battlestar Galactica, where he played, I think, Vector. He played a very memorable role. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I've never seen him in anything else except The Wizard of Oz, but like he had a heck of a career, didn't he?
But you know, it's funny, you look at him and you're like, oh, yep, Scarecrow.
yeah, right? He's got that face.
You know, I don't know if it's as much his face, but his whole mannerism, he's really been able to retain that Scarecrow goofiness in his movement. Yeah.
There's definitely, like, in this episode, a couple scenes where you can just... He's almost dancey, and it's very cute.
Yeah. Well, dancing, I think, was a really big part of his career.
Right.
But here we are. We have Jonathan, Charles, picking up something for the mercantile. And
as always.
Yeah, so here we go. I'm going to play some of this.
Olson's got a pretty big order here this time.
Well, town's growing like a weed, more people every day.
Yeah, mostly a foreigner. I'll bet government better put a stop to it or there ain't gonna be any of us pure Americans left no place.
Didn't know you're an Indian, Horace.
What?
Never mind.
So, I mean, so that's some pretty blatant racism right there. You know?
Yeah.
Pure Americans. What the heck? What are you talking about?
Okay.
What are you talking about, European man?
Right.
And... this is what's weird. So this guy makes a comment. I'm just kind of curious what they're picking up. I don't know if we... Do we know what they're picking up? We're not really sure, right?
No, we never know.
But this guy kind of mentions what's in there.
Don't take all day, party. Keep your britches on. I've got an expensive load of foreign liquor in here. You know scotch? Had to double lock it.
Could it be scotch that they're picking up? No.
Ooh. Right. Wouldn't that be something? They're like sneaking it off the Doc Baker. Like, oh, I got
exactly.
that order.
Forget about that cough medicine.
Yeah.
So he opens it up. A bottle falls out. They go in. I mean, you know, this is a very visual episode.
Yeah, I was rewatching it last night, and I was like, darn, I really picked something that's just pretty much all visuals, but...
Yeah, we'll make the best of it, though. It's... They go in there, and all of a sudden, they see a crate jump up, and we get into kind of a slapstick, humorous moment. The music is really, really perfect for this scene. Here it is.
Yeah.
I said, come back here!
Yeah, he might just stop, right? So, but yeah, okay. it's a weird episode in the sense of how visual it is, but that's all right. I mean, we have so much to talk about here.
Yeah,
they decide to split up and try to catch this drunk thief. This whole scene doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Why Charles and Jonathan are so invested, but I guess being the good guys that they are, they're like, well, we have to help them catch.
Right, this. Right. I mean, Jonathan's like grinning as they're going, like they're having a fun time, but they got work to do.
Yeah, so they get into this factory. I don't know what kind of factory this is, but there's a lot of legitimate machinery going.
Mm-hmm.
And they discover who it is. They find the guy, walk up to him, lift the crate.
Toby, no!
So you got it.
Oh, come on.
Now, you're going to take a lick.
Now, hold on. The old man's a friend of ours.
Well, I don't care who he is. He stole away. He stole whiskey.
All
I'm going to take him in.
What if he makes good on the whiskey?
Well?
He's just an old man. Now, come on.
All right. $20.
$20?
Now, pay up or let's go.
Now, just pay up.
Now, here's the thing. $20? That's like $500 now.
Yeah, that's like a heck of a price for back then.
Yeah, like that's pretty dramatic. He does negotiate down to 10. I don't know why Toby has a $10 bill on him, but I think it's because. Don't we learn later he's kind of a con man a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the $10 that he pays for the alcohol that he drank and the stowaway thing. Definitely. I mean, I'm going to guess that he did not drink enough to equal the amount of money he paid.
Oh, definitely not. He'd be like dead.
Yeah.
$10. That's a lot of alcohol.
That's a lot of booze.
Oh, yeah.
So they talked to Toby No, and they decided to bring him back to Walnut Grove. Very cute. All of a sudden, we're this old man that everybody seems to know. Gonna just live with Charles, I guess. Kind of a little bit strange. I like this little subplot, though. There's a subplot. Do you want to talk about the subplot between Laura and this boy and Albert's great advice?
Well, sure. I don't think I could do it justice, but there is a little kid whose name is Jason, who is
very handsome.
Got the hots for Laura.
The handsome
He's got
young
some,
man.
Like Princess Diana hair going on. Actually, yeah. Did you end up looking up the actor who played Jason?
You know, I didn't, but I will say that he looks exactly like Mark Bouchard, who is a documentary and a regular filmmaker. He makes horror movies here in the States in, like, Wisconsin.
Oh, really? I mean, I wish I could say it was him, but no, I found out something really weird.
Oh, boy. What?
Is that's not too weird. Jason is played by Sean Fry, who was in practically nothing after Little House. But whose half sister was Punky Brewster?
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah. Small world, huh?
But now Punky Brewster has another brother, doesn't she have?
I think she does.
Yeah, Mino Police, right?
Right, right. The
guy from Voyagers.
Oh my god! Yeah. Yeah, but I thought that was so weird. Yeah, they're only half siblings, but
Sean Fry. Yeah, you're right. What the heck? He was in E.T. He was Steve in E.T.
Yeah.
Oh, he did some stuff. He was in a small thing in Real Genius, which I just watched. And he was in This is Spinal Tap.
Oh, my God. Really? Wow. I didn't research him good. Well, but...
It says he plays Jordan St. Hubbins, which is David St. Hubbins' punk rocker son. I got to look at that. I don't remember that. He has some pretty cool little things there. And he was in an episode of Emergency. Melissa Gilbert was also in an Emergency. He played Boy. And Melissa Gilbert, oh, yeah. I know, I believe she played Girl. So,
well,
you know, kind of cool, right? And
it is
so weird. All right, that's a great little rabbit hole that you found there, though.
Yeah, I was kind of like, oh, all right, fuck you, Brewster. But I feel like
this guy's still around.
Always mentioned. Oh, I hope so.
Sean Fry. Wow.
Sean Fry.
So here we go. There's a little banter going on from the Ingalls house. You know, it's like spring fever. Everybody's love is in the air. You hear that? Do you hear that background noise? It's like,
it's like
there's nothing I can like do about it. I'm really sorry. It's
don't you be sorry. That's my little house.
All of my copies from season 5 are horrendous. Even though I own them on DVD, I have this streaming package I bought. I don't rely on any of that stuff. So what I really have to do is rip season 5. So you know what? I'm going to do it this week. So this is the last time we're going to get background noise like this, people.
I'm honored.
Sit behind me in the third row. Jason Brooks? Yeah, I know him. You think he likes me? Why, do you like him?
Yeah. Sometimes I think he's staring at me. But when I turn around to look at him, he just turns away. I don't know if he likes me or not.
Sounds to me like he's playing it real smart.
You know what? I think I'm just going to ask him outright if he likes me.
Oh, that's the worst thing you can do.
So Albert is just not the best advisor of anything, really, right? I mean, this kid lived on the streets. What does he know?
Exactly. He's never like, I mean, Laura's the first girl he's interacted with. He's got nothing up his sleeve. Nothing.
And then we meet Jason, right? Jason Brooks. He does have a Princess Diana haircut, but more definitely more mullety.
Oh, yeah.
I think his friend next to him has the ultimate 1970s boy haircut in a Sears catalog. It's so
yeah,
combed.
It's going like,
it's like, oh my perfect. Goodness. But we've never seen these boys before, and we'll probably never see them again. I think we definitely don't see them again. So yeah, I'm going to play their interaction a little bit.
I'll tell you what I'd do if I was you. The town dance is coming up in 2 weeks. If I were you, I'd ask Laura if she wants to go.
But what if she says no? I mean, it'd just die. I couldn't come to school anymore.
Jason, you gotta get past your shyness. It stops you cold every time.
Damn it, Jason. Come on. The worst thing she could say is no? Come on. What if she says yes? Then you'll really be upset. Yeah. Then you're going to be freaked out. So just like through the crowd, we see the beautiful Laura coming in into the scene to just kind of into the schoolyard. She goes up to the boys.
Jason, there's something I've been meaning to ask you. Do you like me?
No.
Oh, this is like the worst thing ever. His friend reacts in a very interesting way.
Now, why'd you go off and say that?
I don't know. It just came out as all.
You're a dummy.
Well, she's not supposed to ask me that.
Why not?
Because. What if I said yes? Then she could say, well, I don't like you.
Take it back, Jason. You're not a dummy. You're an idiot.
He is. We all have to agree.
He is. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he was given every opportunity there. He was given the gold key, and he just blew it. So, key to the city. Now, we also learned that Toby No has a certain ferocious appetite. It's very similar to Willie's.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And so we're the next scene is at dinner.
Whoops. Thank you, Charles.
Don't mind if I do. I haven't eaten this much in years.
I haven't eaten that much in an entire year.
My father said a
Good appetite is always a compliment to the cook.
I wish you wouldn't be so complimentary. Could I have another cup of coffee, Carolyn? It might fill me up.
Certainly. I'll put on another pot. Carrie, you better get to your homework.
Well, Laura, you've hardly eaten a thing.
Strange that they would have Carrie cleaning in the background when other people are still eating.
Right? I thought that was so weird that they've got her back there doing, like, some hard labor. She hasn't even, like, sat down.
Well, is it possible?
Like, why put her in the scene?
Let's just be honest here. I think Carrie's more the help. I mean, she watches Grace, you know, and she's really just not so much a part of the family.
I think she's holding the family together without realizing it.
It's possible. So we learn that Laura's, of course, in love with this boy, and Ray Bolger, Toby Know, is just kind of introducing himself to the whole area. I don't even know how to really go into his character in Little House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he's really kind of a forgettable character. I don't know how you feel about him. It's fun, but this episode doesn't mean so much all in all. And this was a special episode. This was an extra long episode.
Yeah, right. I don't think it did anything for the overall plot of Little House. You know, it's not like Laura marries this Sean Fry guy, but it was, for some reason, it was an extra long episode. I think that was because they were like, hey, it's Ray Bolger, like,
yeah,
big TV guy.
Michael Landon loves to have these love letters to, you know, people he admires in television history. And, of course, I'm going to bet you hit the nail on the head. He created this as a reason to hang out with a Hollywood legend.
Yeah, for sure. Just for him.
Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, that sounds like something Michael Landon would do. This is flat out my favorite part of the entire episode. We learn Toby can play the organ, and the Reverend needs a player. So he gets to play, and we get a taste of Keddie Lester's singing. Keddie Lester, who plays Hester Sue. Keddie Lester has had a... Well, still, she's still around, but I don't believe she sings anymore. She had a very large jazz career, and you could find recordings on YouTube. You can also buy them, of course. But, yeah, look up Keddie Lester. It's really interesting stuff. It's really, really top-notch and really amazing. But we get her gospel singing, which it's called Names in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Now, this sounds like baseball music, like ball game music.
Right, right.
And even the Reverend's like looking around like, this isn't exactly the kind of stuff that him worthy.
No.
And all these white folks are, you know, turning around looking at each other and like, what is this? And Harriet has this face like, what am I hearing?
Yeah, she is disgusted.
But Keddie Lester, you know, starts clapping a beat and she goes right into it. In the background, we see one woman. She's like, I'm so mad about this music. It hurts me. That's Mrs. Cooper. And we learn later Toby has a bit. Well, he hasn't done it yet, but he's about to meet her. and fall in love, I would say. But she's kind of, well, how would you describe her? Awful.
Yeah. Look, she's pretty sour. I mean, she's got this.
That's it. Sour.
Yeah. She's not enjoying herself too much these days.
And she goes right up to the Reverend. I mean, that's flat out gospel music, right? So gospel music is essentially, you know, if you look at the 19th century, there was a collection of songs that were written specifically to replace the traditional church hymns. And that's what these songs really represented. Now, definitely from the South, but it's definitely a new style of church music that's meant to just be a little bit more alive, I guess.
Right.
And, I mean, she has an opinion.
Reverend Alden.
Hello, Amanda.
Don't you hello me. I'm furious. Those hymns were a disgrace.
I'm sorry you didn't like it, Amanda. I thought it was quite inspiring.
Inspiring nothing. I do not come into God's house to hear the devil's music. Good day, Reverend.
He makes a face kind of like, get out of here. She sounds like the newest Walnut Grove cast listener who's going to write me a letter.
Oh, my God. Right?
Dearest Mark. No. So Toby No just falls in love with her right away. It's like love at first sight. I don't know what he sees in her. Loneliness. I'm not sure. But yeah, he takes a liking to her. And all right. What happens next? Do you want to kind of pick the next avenue to go down with in this episode?
Sure. I think Toby is, like you said, for some reason, in love with this woman. He's kind of like a puppy with her, and he wants to get in her good graces, as he puts it, and hires Laura and Albert to sort of do his courting for him.
Yeah. So they're actually, as he's talking to Albert and Laura, they're trying to talk him out of liking her.
Yeah, they know what's up. They know this lady. They've lived in Walnut Grove. They're like, Toby, you only just got here. You don't know what she's like.
Right. She's like not the woman you go to on Halloween because she'll, throw rocks at you. But here's where they're trying to talk him out of it. Whoops, sorry.
Believe me, Toby, you don't want to know where Amanda Cooper lives.
But I do.
Toby, she's mean, and she's sour. She's ornery, and those are good points.
Albert, I'm the type that likes to form his own opinion. Now, where does she live?
So he just doesn't give up. But he looks just like the Scarecrow here, in my opinion, the way he's walking.
Oh, yeah, he does, yeah. His little legs.
Yeah, he has like a certain cavalier sachet among, in the way he's just kind of walking, he's sacheting instead of, he just doesn't have a care in the world. Maybe that's why people love this character so much.
Yeah. No, he's sweet.
So let's see. They tell him essentially where she lives and he goes right to her house, which is, I don't know, kind of
pretty bold.
Yeah, it's kind of bold. It's also, he gets a wake-up call. Like, she basically isn't the type of woman. She's an old-fashioned woman. She's an older woman, and she's an old-fashioned woman. She also seems to have a little bit of money. Like, her stuff, she has very nice things, and her home seems pretty nice.
I love her home.
Her home, I was looking at it. I think it's the same set as the Widow Thurman's house. At least
you're
the interior.
Right. Oh, it looks that way, doesn't it?
Just reviewed like that episode. That's why I know that. But we don't see the exterior. I don't think we get to see what the house looks like from the outside. So it could just be a set.
I think it's that generic one with like the little white picket fence and it's like green grass, but kind of in the middle of like dirt, in the middle of nowhere.
But here's another thing that's weird, is later on she's hearing the music, right?
Yeah.
So from where, the band, right? Where does she live? It she's doesn't like make a lot of sense.
Yeah, where were they hosting that dance? I never figured it out.
The shindig. But here he's going to her house like a vacuum salesman.
What do you want?
How do you do, ma'am? I'm Toby Knoll, and I'd like to apologize for what happened in church. It was not my intention to upset anyone.
Intention or not, Mr. Knoll, that was not proper church music.
Yes, ma'am. But you see, happy music is the only kind of music my fingers know how to play.
Well, I accept your apology. Now, if you'll excuse
me. Wait. Now that we've met, I wonder if you would do me the pleasure of letting me sit here with you on this veranda.
Just what are your intentions, Mr. Knoll?
Strictly honorable, I assure you. I would be less than honored if I did not admit that I find you very attractive.
All right, so this is where I started getting annoyed with the episode. Because like I said, this episode runs for about an hour and 10 minutes. And these lines are very, very long. I know that Ray Bolger's a star, but he has far too many lines in this. Far too many.
He does. It does drag out quite a bit. And yeah, I think, honestly, I can just imagine Michael Landon was like sat there in the office. He was writing this piece and he's like, oh, I'll give this guy all the lines. And, you know, he's just a great guy. Everyone's going to see him and love him. And you do for about like 10 minutes.
Yeah. And I get old. To the point where I don't like him, actually. I mean, there's one particular scene that I'll point out that I just think he's so presumptuous and rude that I just can't believe. He speaks to Albert and Laura because she just flat out rejects him, which is amazing. So
yeah, rightfully so.
So speaking to the kids sends Laura to go give her flowers because every woman loves flowers. It's what they teach.
Miss Cooper, the Honorable Toby Knoll wishes to apologize and ask if he may come calling on Thursday evening.
You tell Mr. Knoll the answer is no and tell him to stop bothering me.
She's rude. She slams the door in the flowers. They deserve each other.
Yeah.
They deserve each other.
Oh, they do.
She's awful and he's a leech. So.
Yeah. Hand in hand.
Poor Laura. Come on.
She has to like yank the flowers out of the door.
I never noticed that her dress has buttons in the back. No, it doesn't look
actually,
right.
Actually, I didn't know that either. That is her Sunday dress, right?
It looks like it's on backwards.
It may be.
If you, do you see it, like, where she slammed the door? Do you have it in front of you? I don't know if you're even...
I do.
If you look at it right when she slams the flowers in the door, you see the back, and it's almost like the way the collar is made it. That could be the front, I guess.
I see. Oh my gosh. You're right.
I took a screenshot because I feel like I have to prove these things. I also took a screenshot of the fern that's in this episode.
there's a couple of those, isn't there?
Now, what's interesting is speaking of the Widow Thurman, she also had Thurman? Is that it? Thornton?
Yeah.
Thurman. Yeah, Thurman, I think. She had like five ferns. She was like crazy with ferns. So that's why I also think that this is the house because there was a fern hanging exactly where the widow had it.
Very observant. I don't know. What are they? I mean, I've heard your theories about the ferns.
Oh, I don't have any theory. Oh, well, the theory is the hidden microphone.
Like the microphone. Yeah. And I'm like, I mean, it could be true, especially when the fern is like, sort of smack bang in the middle of the two characters. Makes you wonder, but...
But there are a lot of ferns in Little House on the Prairie. Don't fool yourself. So stop with the ferns.
Calm down.
So Charles is doing something we almost never see him do, and that's cook. He's just cooking up a steak. Hey, I'm up. He's in his nightgown, and he's just cooking up. Sizzling away, you know, it's crazy.
May I borrow the wagon tonight?
Anything you want, Toby.
Don't you want to know where I'm going?
You want to tell me, you go ahead and you tell me.
To court my man.
You do what you want. I think it's no use.
No is a word is not in my vocabulary, except for my last name.
It's a decent joke right there. That no is not
is.
A word in my vocabulary except for my last name. And he takes a fork and he takes a steak as Charles is pumping water up from the well and just walks out with his steak.
Oh, it's a move. And I hate when people take my food. I mean, it doesn't happen often, but if it did, Toby No took my steak.
I don't even like people looking at my food.
Because you know what they're thinking.
Yeah. Don't ask. No, you can't have a fry. No. How about that? The answer is flatly.
Yeah, no.
He just keeps trying and trying and trying. And finally, he gets her to invite him for tea.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. It's exhausting. Charles is complaining. We even have a complaining Charles in this episode. It's not just me complaining, ladies and gentlemen. It's also Charles.
Carolyn, he's just driving me crazy. It's Amanda this, Amanda that. That's all I hear about is Amanda.
Oh, Charles, you know what it's like being in love. It's full of suffering.
He's suffering. The man eats like a horse. He doesn't offer to pay for anything. He just stays here and he eats and he eats. I thought he was going to stay for a few days.
Charles, have some sympathy. After all, he's an old man.
Oh, boy. Come on, Carolyn.
Yeah. She's too kind.
Yeah, Carolyn's all sweet. There's no popcorn in the scene. There's nothing going on here. There's nothing. There's no shenanigans going on.
No,
Charles
names,
is just
too.
Grumpy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was just weird how originally Charles was just casually just cooking a steak.
Yeah, right. He never cooks, and it's no surprise that when he does cook, it's for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But all right. He's hungry.
But Charles, you know, he is getting frustrated. Now, while Toby is hanging out with Mrs. Cooper, I don't know exactly why, but Laura and Albert decide to snoop.
Yes.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. And they bring Bandit along with them.
Right. Bandit sort of, like, followed on after them. I don't think they, like, intended to bring him along. But he's a clingy dog.
He's a very needy dog.
He wanted to catch a pig.
It seems like things are going actually really kind of well for Toby, right?
Yeah. They're chatting away. They're singing.
And Bandit sees the cat, Mrs. Cooper's cat. You know, she has a lot of figurines, a lot of statues and everything. I think I have this exact statue, like it was given to us for our wedding. I have to look at that.
No way.
It's like identical. I'm going to,
oh,
I'm Mr. Screenshot, so I'm going to take screenshots. The one that's right next to the cat, I think I have if I have the identical one, I'm going to give it away. I don't know. My wife would kill me. I'll take a picture of it. I'll put my son next to it instead of I'll put my dog next to it.
Yeah, you are like a little dog, right? You got two of them.
Yeah, I have two little dogs, Yoki and Toodles. Because I'm a real man. I can have a dog named Toodles.
Yeah, you sure can.
I bet you there's not too many Toodles over in Australia. There's not too many men naming their dogs Toodles in Australia.
No, unfortunately not.
Yeah.
We've been deprived of Toodles.
What is like the most common of pets? I mean, you guys just cats and dogs. I mean, what? What else?
It
depends
where you're living.
Uh huh.
I mean, I live in Queensland. I don't know if that means anything to you.
I've heard
of
it.
But it's like the kind of the tropics of Australia.
Yeah, isn't it big on surfing?
Yeah. Everybody's out in the ocean. A lot of people have chickens.
Okay.
Sort of just because they have the space, I guess. It's a lot of like open land. But in the suburbs and that, it's just cats and dogs. You know, there's nothing interesting. Now, the occasional rabbit, maybe.
No kangaroos. I'm just kidding.
No, unfortunately.
Yeah, kangaroos scare me. Like, kangaroos are like one of my, they're kind of my the kind of animal that I would just be a little freaked out around. I don't know why. Same thing with horses.
Good reason. No, the horses got, they got big eyes. I haven't seen a horse recently. And then when I did, I don't know, something about his eyeballs just freaked me out.
That's exactly it. You know, it's kind of funny you say that. It's precisely the reason why they kind of freak me out. Now, they say, oh, well, same thing with elephants. They say that the larger the eyes of the animal, the larger brain, right? And it really kind of, and or rather the larger intelligence of the animal.
Right.
And the whole thing just kind of freaks me out. A horse is so powerful. And the same thing with an elephant. It just makes me uncomfortable. I think they're beautiful. I don't dislike them. I don't hate them, of course.
Right, of course.
But yeah, I just don't feel safe near them.
No, neither. Yeah, absolutely not. And they can be huge horses, you know, like.
And the eyes do freak me out. The, you know, it's like they're looking through my soul and they know everything about me.
They stripped you bare. They've got you down.
Quit looking at me or I'm going to turn you into glue.
Oh, no.
Send you off to the mucilage factory. I'm just kidding. I love horses. I'm afraid of them.
So, Yeah.
I wouldn't be so great on a real wagon talk. So I don't think I'd be able to really hitch a team.
You'd be a little shaky.
Maybe one day. I've ridden the horses. I don't know.
Yeah? But you couldn't look them in the eye.
No, I could not do that. But here we go. I almost called them Tiger from Brady Bunch. No. Bandit sees the cat through the window, and this is like a Brady Bunch moment. This is what happened in the first episode of the Brady Bunch at the wedding. I don't know if you ever saw that.
I did, but I can't recall it.
It's the wedding. It's like where Mike and Carol get married, and Tiger chases after their cat and ruins all the food and the cake, and it's awesome.
Oh, no. Yeah, it rings a bell. It's like a typical animal slapstick.
And they're like, you got to get rid of that dog. No, you got to get rid of that cat. And, yeah, it's pretty awesome. I got to go and watch that again. But here we go. This is the Brady Bunch.
You know that dog. That's your dog, isn't it?
It is not my dog. It's a dog of a friend of mine.
Out. Get out of my house.
Please, it's not my dog.
Out. Get out of my house. Not me.
How many things are breaking?
Yeah, she's got a lot of little ornaments that she can afford to break.
Now, when he does get thrown out, you do see the white picket fence, but you also get to see that fern that I'm talking about.
That fern.
This is not the exterior of the Widow Thurman house.
No, her Definitely house is not. Huge.
Yeah, her house is like a big, beautiful house. But now I'm becoming...
This is like a stinky version.
I'm becoming so aware now of all of the set dressings. Like, even like when we're in her house and the paintings and everything, I'm like trying to memorize them all. Like in the widow's house, she had like a gondola scene in Spain, maybe, or in Italy. And so I want to find where they're reusing some of this stuff, but her painting was not that.
I mean, they do have in Amanda Cooper's house, there's a rubbish bin that she sort of tosses the flower bits into. And I'm pretty sure I spotted that rubbish bin in The Craftsman in Mr. Cinnamon's house.
We have to start cross-referencing all this.
Oh, yeah.
Like I lunatics. Want that bin. Bunch of I'm lunatics.
All the time.
But, so Toby's thrown out. He's on the street. Poor Toby, right? Blah, blah, blah. Toby decides he's really down now. He just met this woman, what, a few days ago?
A day ago, yeah.
Charles is talking about Toby leaving.
Well, of course, I was in a good mood. I heard Toby's gonna leave.
Well, I feel sorry for him.
Well, so will I after he's gone. And let's face it, his misery didn't hurt his appetite. He made that roast look like a chop.
Oh, I know, but
Now, they're in bed right now. I do want to mention that. And Toby just kind of walks right in.
Charles.
Yes, Toby.
I couldn't sleep. I thought if I had something to eat, it'd make me drowsy.
There's nothing left.
Well, maybe some raw onions and a little milk. I think that ought to do the trick.
That sounds very relaxing to me.
I hope it didn't disturb you.
Oh, no, that's fine.
That's all right.
He's like a lost little boy. It's so sad.
He looks like Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, you're right. With the lantern and everything and his sleeping cap.
Raw onions.
Raw onions and milk. I mean, what is that?
America.
No, that's maybe Canadian. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
They're crazy up there. But if anybody's listening to this, have you ever heard of raw onions and milk together?
Absolutely not. That's awful.
Yeah, that's just
raw onions and hot milk.
The only thing I've seen with raw onions is there is a taste of a vodka, Russian vodka, where you're supposed to drink it at a perfectly chilled temperature, and then you sniff an onion right afterward. Not kidding.
Why?
And it enhances the experience of the drink.
All right.
It's like a shot of it, but it's supposed
to...
it's a
sniff.
And then you sniff the raw onion piece. A white onion.
Have you ever
onion.
Done that before?
No,
haven't. Okay, a white onion.
Yeah, I have not.
One day.
One day. Maybe one Monday. Day. You know what? What about Monday? I'll just do it. Forget about one
day. Just get yourself an onion. It's so strange.
A bottle of booze.
Yeah, right. Buy this whole bottle and one onion.
Yeah.
Do you have to, like, get a new onion every time? Like, every time you pour?
Well, you know, I mean, one or two drinks and you're going to be, like, as happy as Toby or as depressed. So,
yeah, right.
I guess, I mean, onions are cheap. I don't know about over in Australia, but.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. Hey, what about the Bloomin' Onion? I'm just kidding. I mean, you probably don't know the reference to the Bloomin' Onion. So
I have no idea, no.
All right, so we have a restaurant made by a couple of Americans called called Outback.
Yeah.
And it has this whole Australian theme to it, right? Where it's like they say things like, good day, you know? And they have,
oh my God, yeah,
and they have an appetizer called the Bloomin' Onion, right? And it's essentially, no, I swear to you, I'm going to send you a copy of the menu and a picture of what a Bloomin' Onion looks like. And a Bloomin' Onion is essentially it's a large Vidalia onion sliced into petals. And then they put in a batter. And then they deep fry it because welcome to America. And then they put some type of spicy dressing with it. I don't think I've been to an Outback in well over a decade, but it's one of those kind of really greasy and fun foods to eat. But just funny.
I mean, it sounds pretty good, but
like deep frying.
Oh,
anything.
Like blooming, like flower blooming?
No, well, it's spelled, well, it's supposed to be like a bloom. Like it's like a flower blooming because that's the way it looks when it's presented. But it's spelled B-L-O-O-M-I-N apostrophe, you know, so like blooming, you know, kind of like Australians can't finish words. I don't know. It seems offensive
you're not
to me.
Wrong. I mean, blooming, when we say blooming, it kind of means like the equivalent of like dawn. Oh, that darn cat! You know, all that
oh, darn!
Cat.
I thought you said dung, like poop.
No, darn! like kind of like bloody. That bloody bird is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Bird.
That blooming idiot.
That blooming onion.
We're learning so much about the world of Australia. Surfing.
Thanks, Outback Steakhouse.
Outback Steakhouse. authenticity right here in New York. But I'm going to dig it up. I'll send it to you. If you ever visit the States, you have to go to an Outback, and it's like, or you know what? Do something even better. Go on YouTube and look up an Outback Steakhouse commercial, because it's all like these really bad Australian accents.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm so going to as soon as this is over, you know.
And it's done by like two guys. I mean, it was started by two guys from like New Jersey or something. You know, it's not zero authenticity. It's
nothing Australian about it, but
it's kind of awesome. Good. All right. So thank you, Toby No, for that milk and onion.
Onions.
I think I would choose the vodka onion sniffer over the Bloomin' Onion, though, because the Bloomin' Onion really sits with you.
Oh, yeah. It would. It's greasy.
So Albert is now getting a little bit involved. Albert is thinking, well, I'm just going to let Albert talk.
We got to help Toby marry that old prune. Marry her?
We have to, like, what a terrible thing to say about that old prune.
That old prune. Can you imagine what, like, Ma would say if she was sat there with them?
Albert Ingalls!
That old prune.
Yeah. Well, boys will be boys.
Why? Well, that's the only way we're going to get him to stay in Walnut Grove. She won't marry him. She won't even talk to him anymore. Well, we could fix that. Yeah, we could take the blame for what Bandit did. No, that wouldn't do it.
So they put their heads together.
Mm-hmm. They're thinking.
So they continue talking about Laura's love trouble, and let's see, there's more talk about, Albert offers the worst advice to Laura, basically saying to ignore Jason and to flirt.
It's the kind of advice you'd find in like a magazine.
Yeah. It's kind of strange. And also to like flirt with his best friend, which of course is just never going to end well. So here we go.
No.
She's just awful in this scene anyway.
Laura?
Not while I'm shooting, Jason.
Sorry.
Darn. Your turn.
Laura,
Albert's shooting.
Oh my god.
Well, I have to ask you a question.
Your turn. Can it wait?
Well, no, it's important.
Nothing's more important than a marble game. Ha, gotcha.
Well, if you haven't got time for a question, I'd just like to say, well, That
what?
That you're a toad face.
Those are fighting words where I'm from.
You're a toad face.
That's Ooh. Terrible. What a terrible thing to say.
It is. But she half deserved it, I feel.
Now, I'm going to go quickly to the most annoying person to ever be on an episode of Little House on the Prairie. Oh, my God. Right? I mean, she's scary.
Oh, my goodness.
Toby decides,
she has been like embedded in my memory since I first watched this episode.
She's
as a
like,
child.
Oh yes. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah, she sounds like you putting on like a stereotypical like feminine voice.
So here we go. Toby's doing the same type of thing. We're going to get Mrs. Cooper jealous because we're gonna get another woman, and he chooses the perfect woman for it, I guess. And he has a picnic right in front of Mrs. Cooper's window. Not too obvious.
That's a douche mood.
Yeah. Mrs. Cooper's looking out the window.
Imagine that foolish man going with such an elderly lady.
I wish you could have known him, Mr. No. He was the last beau I had that courted me. Oh, Mr. Noel, may I look at your hand? I can tell a lot about a man from his hand.
Oh. What is
oh my
wrong?
Gosh.
Poor woman.
Oh. Oh, so soft.
He's uncomfortable.
So gentle. So loving.
So she has his hand in her hand, caressing her face with it, and he's mortified.
Yes, yeah.
He's like, can I have my hand? Yeah, we're all a little bit mortified. It's a very lonely woman.
Oh, you haven't done much work, have you? Oh, but it's a very sensitive hand. Oh, so tender.
Oh my God, I'm going to throw up. So, but yeah, she's crazy. And she lurches right at him.
But she does.
She goes right for it. I was like, oh my God. But that brings us to one of the funnier scenes. Well, kind of funny. So Laura's crying. Poor Laura got called a toad face. You would cry too. I would.
Yeah, I cry easy.
I cry easy. So Albert, you know, kind of feels partially responsible, and he goes and gives her a handkerchief, and she blows her nose, and she goes to give it back, and he goes, I don't want it.
I don't want
your snot rag. Jeez. But here we go. We have Laura crying, kind of talking about the whole thing. And maybe we've all been brokenhearted like this at some point in our lives.
But none of Toby's bones are broken.
Well, what about my heart? He called me a toe face.
He was exaggerating.
Thanks a lot.
Listen, don't worry about the dumb old dance. I'll dance with you.
Thanks again. There's nothing in the world more fun than dancing with your brother. Albert, you want to do me a real big favor?
Or anything.
Go to sleep.
Aww. She's brokenhearted. What is it? She talked to Ma.
Yeah, right.
Get some advice from the woman. Get yeah, better advice from Carrie. Jeez.
Oh, like, Carrie.
Bring him a butterfly. Oh, poor Laura. She's grown up in this season. I think it's next season that she finally starts becoming a much more developed character.
Right, yeah, she's not such a child anymore.
So Carolyn kind of gets involved in this whole love triangle between Toby and Mrs. Cooper. So here she goes. Mrs. Cooper is kind of sour. She's kind of grumpy to everybody, even wonderful Ma.
Yeah, poor Ma. I love Ma.
Yeah, who doesn't? She's the foundation for the whole family, I think.
Do you mind if I come in and
what's on your mind, Mrs. Ingalls?
Well, actually, it's about the gentleman who's staying with us. I believe you know him, Mr. Toby No.
Did that lunatic put you up to this?
No, this was my idea. And he's not a lunatic.
I don't mean to be impolite, but you are wasting your time. I want no part of that man.
But I think you have the wrong impression of him.
Oh, no. I have the right impression. He is irresponsible, he is sloppy, and I don't think he's ever worked a day in his life.
Well, we all have our faults, Miss Cooper. And Toby No is the most good-natured man I believe I've ever met.
Well, then why are you trying to give him to me? If he is such a prize, why don't you keep him at your house?
I don't think that's very nice. He thinks the world of you.
Well, I have gotten along all these years without a man. I don't need men, I don't trust men, and that is the simple truth. I found out the hard way what it's like to open your heart to a man.
So we start learning a little bit about why she's so sour.
Yeah, she's of course got a painful backstory.
Yeah, it is kind of it's kind of sad. I mean, this woman, she has her cat, and that's it.
Yeah, she's me.
I don't think so. Not quite. Not yet. You have this podcast. You have us.
Yeah. give it a year.
We again have something that backfires. So this is also a very funny little scene here.
Here comes Laura. So you said you wanted to apologize for calling her a toad face. Now's your chance.
You're right, I will.
I think they're hanging out at the log that Mary put her glasses in.
Are they still there?
Just hanging out, putting Halo glasses.
Right. Hi, Ned.
It's like, Ned, what? Oh, you mean the guy with the nice haircut?
Hi. I brought you an extra peanut butter sandwich.
Way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
For me?
Uh-huh. Here.
Well, thanks.
That's Wonder Bread if it's ever been bread. That's Wonder Bread. That's not homemade, like, Little House on the Prairie bread.
Ma's bread.
Come on.
No. And also, can I just mention, every time that they bring up peanut butter in this show, I get a little peeved. Because I believe peanut butter was not that commonly used back then. Leastwise, not by, like, povo people.
You know, I know nothing of the history of peanut butter. But I bet you I'm going to learn a lot real quick. But yeah, peanut... I'm going to look it up real quick as this plays out.
Mind if I sit next to you? Gee, it sure is cozy like this, isn't it, Ned?
It's not cozy. It's crowded. Thanks for the sandwich.
So I just want to point out that you couldn't be more right, but there are so many weird things here. So peanut butter was not developed until 1884 by Marcellus Edson. And I know that name. I don't know exactly why I know that name. Who was also born on February 7th, just like myself and Laura Ingalls Wilder.
No way!
And his birthdays, I mean, he died on March 6th, which is in 2 days from now. In 1940, though.
Oh, my gosh.
But he's Canadian. That's why we don't know him. It doesn't matter. Who's the American that invented it? That's what I want to know.
Oh, my God.
I bet I could just say I invented it, and I'll get all the credit.
Yeah, you certainly could.
But, yeah, Marcellus Gilmore Edson invented it in 1884. So you couldn't be more right. Yeah.
Because we're going by, like, the 100-year rule, right, with this show-ish.
Yes. I think that's the whole concept. So we're talking, this would be 1879, 5 years before peanut butter would be invented.
Like, wouldn't you think they'd researched that at least, you know, when they're getting all their props together? They're like, oh, we need a sandwich. Like, why peanut butter?
There's even a patent. Do you know there's a patent for peanut butter? Yeah, I'm going to save this. I'll save it because I'll get people saying, like, that's not true.
Yeah, you're going to get some emails.
No. I haven't gotten any mean emails in a while, so I'm pretty happy about that. So,
Good, I'm glad.
You'll write me one.
Yeah, me. It's me, secretly.
Yeah.
Dear Mark.
This is Toby No. So Toby knows he's staying out in the what do you call it? The soddy. That's what they call it, the soddy. That's where Grandpa lived.
Yeah, and the, like, apples.
Yeah, the potatoes. You keep all of your root. It's like a root cellar, except it's a soddy. So here we go. We go up to Toby No. This is where I made the decision that I do not like Toby No.
Ray, where'd you get the suit?
The mercantile?
Well, how'd you pay for it?
I, charged it.
You charged it? I'm surprised Mrs. Olsen let you open it. You put it on my bill.
All right, now, Toby, this is going to stop. You're going to get a job.
Don't you yell at me, Charles Engel. It's all your fault I don't have any money.
What do you mean, my fault?
Well, if it hadn't been for you, I'd be in Frisco right now making a bundle. There's no gambling in this one horse town.
Now, come on, we're late for church.
I'd kill him. Just...
Oh, yeah.
It would be over
he's,
at that
he's
point.
He's eating your food, spending your money for himself,
yeah,
living just... in your sorority.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I'm just not crazy about it. But this is where Toby, living in Usadi, rent-free, all care, you know, just living life.
Yeah, he's been there too long. Just because he's old doesn't mean he can't work.
So Toby lies to Ms. Cooper, and, you know, this is just not how you start a relationship, in my opinion.
How are you, Miss Cooper?
I'm just fine, thank you, Mr. No.
Oh, funny. I was stopping here in front of my place of employment.
Why, Mr. No, I didn't know that you were working.
Oh, yes. It's hard for a man like myself to remain idle for long. Would you allow me the honor of walking you home?
Now, what was this? I mean, are we like 2 weeks into knowing each other at this point? At most?
I believe so. Yeah, at most.
They fought, all the stuff, so much drama with these two.
Yeah, like, I don't see how they're sort of like, I don't know how they see this as a good thing, a good positive relationship that's going places. If they're like a married couple after 2 days.
Yeah, it is a bit much. But Miss Cooper does agree to go to, finally agrees to go to the dance with Toby and invite him over to dinner. And then Toby, just like a lovesick puppy, he goes shopping for a brooch.
He does, a nice one too.
But how would he pay for it? Like, that's another thing that's not really brought up.
Yeah, I mean, because he's now working at the mill, right?
But is he really working there? I just didn't really know if he was doing anything.
Yeah, and also, if he was working, you'd think that the money that he's earning is, like, paying off his suit.
And maybe, you know, throw something on the table for dinner at the Ingalls house.
Yeah, maybe.
So he's picking up the brooch. He picks out a nice one. And the, what is her name? Mumford? I don't...
Yeah, Widow Mumford.
Widow Mumford. Poor Widow Mumford. She's she loves Toby as much as Toby loves Miss Cooper.
And oh, yeah.
She comes into the mercantile, and is flipping through the stuff on the hangers and finds Toby.
Oh, Mr. No, peek-a-boo, you devil, you... sneaking in here to surprise me.
At this point, I think also Toby reacts to this entire situation as kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I mean, this is crazy.
She is crazy, but...
Yeah.
But he's a little...
No, all right.
Have you been thinking about our picnic the other day?
Huh? Every time I touch my ribs, I think they're broken.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. But you reminded me so much of my late husband.
Now I know how he died.
Oh!
No, all right, this is... Get ready to be so creeped out. This is just... Oh, I don't even want to play it, but I have to.
But you're alive.
Oh! Here we go, Toby.
Oh.
Thanks, Nels.
Sets it off just right, doesn't it?
Nels brings out the brooch that's now in a very handsome box.
Oh, Mr. No, you shouldn't have.
I didn't.
Oh, I know you wanted to surprise me, but... Kiss me now.
This is just crazy. All right. Time to put that woman to... Like, oh my god.
To bed. Yeah.
Oh. She's just way over the top.
Yeah, she's weird.
Yeah, she's a little
too weird. Sometimes I watch that, I can't, like, look at her.
Right.
Because it's so uncomfortable.
It's just too much. So Toby presents the gift to Ms. Cooper, and she throws him out.
Yeah.
Get out! And it's like, a sad moment. It's a very visual moment, but basically it's like, get the hell out of my house.
And they, like, just sat down for dinner, too.
Yeah, I made a note here. I don't know what it means. I'm flipping through here really quickly, but he picks up the steak knife.
Oh?
Did he leave with the steak knife? I don't think so. All right, I don't know.
I hope
that,
not.
I don't know what that was all about then. So
he just walks out with some of her belongings.
Exactly. That's a Toby move. But yeah,
he would.
But Toby's sad. You know, he's just talking to Grace out in the yard. I don't know. And why is Toby alone with Grace? Like, this is all.
I would not leave Grace alone with that guy.
Yeah, right? It's like, oh, who's watching Grace? Oh, the guy that we found stung away on a train that drank about 3 gallons of whiskey. Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Toby. Jeez.
Well, that's bad.
So Toby's drunk. Toby is way drunk. And we're just... Another thing is he goes in to get her a drink and just leaves her at the yard. I mean,
what?
I don't know. A Wolverine could come by. I don't know.
Totally could. The Ingalls are so naive. Like, why would Carolyn let this guy just sit out with his baby and then leave her by the creek?
Well,
in a chair.
He, you know what it is? He's not a total fool, because if there's one thing I know about women, there's nothing that works better than showing up at a woman's house in the middle of the night drunk. And not only throwing, you're not just banging on the door, but also throwing insults around. There's, you know, it's really, I mean, things just end pretty amazing after all of that. But here's a little bit. Here's some of that.
Over there!
Go home! You hear me?
I have something to say! If you don't open up, I yell so loud, the whole town will hear!
Now, all right, it's 1874, right? Where's her gun? Like, because he would deserve to get shot. I'm surprised she didn't shoot him.
Yeah, she would too. She's got the balls for it.
Yeah, she's crazy.
All right, speak your piece. I need my sleep.
All right, I'll speak my piece. First of all, you're older than I am. Anyone can see that. I'm doing you the favor. Second of all, I'm better looking than you. Don't you dare call me ugly.
I never said that.
That's all a lot of lies. None of that is the real reason why you're trying to break us up. You're afraid of feelings. You're afraid of living. You're afraid of needing me.
That is ridiculous.
Not so ridiculous talking to that dumb cat.
I love that cat.
He's so talkative.
Yeah, it's like, and they go pee on your foot. It's so weird. This whole thing is so bizarre. Like, storms in, calls her ugly. Like, it's old and ugly. He's doing her a favor. He's throwing her a bone, and she can't even be appreciative of that. So, it's just weird. So Toby, you know. Basically, it's kind of over. Toby decides to really leave and wants a ride to the train station. Laura and Albert are begging the drunk to stay. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. When you put it that way, it's...
It's kind of bizarre. Now, Laura, just to kind of cut through all this, you know, Laura's begging him to stay, but then in the same breath, Laura wants to stay home from the dance. Like, it's kind of strange,
just like,
right?
You gotta be there.
but she actually does talk Toby into staying. And it's like, all right, I'll stay for the dance. And then she's not going to go to the dance. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
But here it is. She's brushing her hair, like, you know, Marsha Brady. It's like 81, 82. She has those curls. Her hair is up. You know, she's got her weird blue dress that buttons in the back on.
The backwards dress.
I'll never
be able to. She looks real nice.
Yeah, I'll never be able to look again at that dress without looking for those buttons, though.
Have I? Hey, come on, everybody's ready.
Do I have to go, Pa?
Now, come on. Once you get there, you're going to have a good time.
Can I just stay home and take care of baby Grace?
Mrs. Terhune is going to take care of baby Grace. And you told me yourself there's going to be a lot of girls there without bows.
Bandit's watching baby Grace.
Yeah, Carrie's watching baby Grace. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, Nellie Olson. And the only reason why boys will ask her to dance is because she brings a 10-pound bag of candy with her.
Lots of boys are going to ask you to dance. And besides, I want to have a dance with my best girl, too.
All right. I'll be right down.
That's my girl.
I say it all the time, and this is not a sexist comment. I'm just really happy that we had a son. We didn't have a daughter. I just couldn't handle all these emotions.
Right, yeah.
I just think having a boy is easier.
Yeah, I don't have kids, but if I did, I would not want a daughter. I could not do it.
I'll take B boy. B1.
That one, please. The we little thought, boy, thank you.
We thought we were having a girl up until maybe a couple weeks before my wife delivered.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because in the way that my son was positioned, it was weird. Like, they said that they can't get a view of his front side. So
right.
It was, they said, but it's mostly girls who are doing that, you know, in this position. Mm-hmm. So we just, we didn't buy anything, though. We didn't prepare.
Right,
and we're not really the type. We're not the type to do, like, you know, pink everything anyway. Everything would be neutral anyway.
Yeah, yeah. That's a smart way to go.
I couldn't handle pink everything. I would just stab my eyes out or something, like Mary did. So, wait, let me just get the time on that. I'm going to take that out. That's a terrible thing.
You're going to get Mark at Walnut Grove Cones.
That I will get. That's not a very nice comment. All right. So we're at the party, and things are going pretty well, I guess. So here we go. Wait, actually, what would be the next? Oh, here we go. Miss Cooper is complaining about the music. And this is what leads us to believe that she does live very close.
Yeah. Now, how loud are they blasting that music?
How loud can it be? Jeez, there's no amplification.
Right, it's like a fiddle and, like, I don't know. They had, like, a double bass or something.
Yeah.
Out in heaven, wake the dead. Probably that Toby knows fault. He's so old, he didn't know he's deaf. He can't even hear it.
Stop playing with that brooch. Did you understand me?
Now she's talking to the cat. Just so everyone knows.
Well, of course you didn't. You're a cat. I'm talking to a cat. I am talking to a cat.
I talk to my dogs all day, so.
Oh, yeah, I talk to my cats all day.
Yeah. She shouldn't feel so bad. She should just close the door and put on Netflix and watch The Office. That's what this woman really, that's what she should do. But
that man loves me, and I'm talking to a cat.
Well, don't hit the cat or anything. So it's her birthday, and she's eating a cupcake for her birthday alone with the cat. And, you know, it's, I think she's making the right decision, but that cat is going to town on that cupcake.
Yeah. Louis's so cute. I love him.
Yeah, I love black cats.
Same, yeah.
And the music goes on for like an hour. It's like it's just a lot of square dance type music, and it's all sweet. They have Chinese lanterns, which I think is kind of odd.
Yeah, but what is that? Like, they've done that before, haven't they, in Little House?
Yeah,
there's a party or something.
Are Chinese lanterns, like, were they a thing or something?
I don't know. Even my sister, when she happened to watch this, I mean, this was years ago, but she watched it and she pointed out, she's like, why have they got lanterns? I thought this was America.
It looks all of a sudden like Karate Kid Part 2 when he goes to, I think it's Part 2, when he goes to, I keep thinking he went to Japan, but that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I guess he went to...
I think he did.
He did go to Japan. Yeah, you know what he did? Yeah, you're right. Huh. All right. So, is Pat Morita Japanese even? I know that he doesn't speak Japanese. Or rather, he might speak Japanese, but I know he doesn't know karate. Or didn't know karate.
He was a Japanese-American, a half guy, I'm pretty sure.
I am offending a lot of people. So, I don't know. The bottom line is this. These are Chinese lanterns. And I don't know if that's really something that would just pop up in Walnut Grove in a catalog. I looked in the, I have the Sears Roebuck catalog, and I looked through there, and there are none. So, I don't know where they would come from. They're kind of cool. They look nice. Yeah. They sure look nice.
They do. that's all that matters.
So she goes, Miss Cooper runs to Toby. They see each other. They make eye contact. It's all nonverbal, but it's just kind of an understanding. Charles and company play her favorite song.
Oh my gosh. Can we please talk about how awful Charles plays the darn song?
He's just banging against the thing.
Was that just me? Like, I feel like, because obviously Michael Landon is not playing the fiddle. They had like some guy come in and record it, but why? It sounds so bad.
Yeah, it is. He can't fake it very well, is I think the bottom line. But this is all music, so I'm not going to play it. It's all visual. It's very nice. They get their dance. They dance together. We finally have these two together for the third time in this episode.
Yes. Yeah. Finally.
Yeah. Let's see. What is next? So Jason goes up to beautiful Laura and does the right thing, I think. For the first time, everybody's kind of doing the right thing. Thanks to Pa's amazing playing. Thank you, Pa.
Thank you, bye.
Nellie's sitting there. Nellie looks kind of sad, actually.
She does. Yeah.
Huh? I'm sorry I called you a toad face.
I'm sorry I didn't listen to your question.
Can I have this dance?
Aside from Nelly, we see people that I've never seen before and we'll never see again. It's just a weird episode. This is one of the weirder episodes. I don't recommend it this. I don't recommend as a first episode. And that's how it ends.
I don't either.
That's just kind of how it ends.
Yeah, they're all shoved in there and dancing to Pa's god-awful rendition of Beautiful Dreamer.
Is that what it's called, Beautiful Dreamer?
Yes.
Well, then they mesh into... Hey, that's weird. Wait, I'm going to just play something back. I just want to see what a character is doing. If you watch Harriet right before it fades out, did you happen to watch her?
I did.
She looks loaded. Like she looks like she had a few vodkas with onion.
Oh, yeah, she's been in the corner sniffing onions. Oh, my God.
she's dancing and falling a little bit into Nels's arms. And he's like, what is going on with you?
Literally, he's like, we choreographed this. What are you doing? Oh, my God. Did you notice, like, Willie as well? He's, like, trapped in the back. There's too many people, and he's sort of, like, hovering under the ladder.
Yeah, like, where is this? Like,
right? Whose barn is this?
It's very cramped. I have a lot of complaints in this episode, but I do think it's a fun episode. We did get a Hollywood legend. You know, Michael Landon probably had a bucket list. You know, he's like, well, I love Scarecrow, and I'm making a TV show for him.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long one. He put him on Highway.
Was he on Highway to Heaven?
No, but I feel like with Michael's list, he was like, oh, darn, I couldn't get that guy on Little House. Yeah. Well, it's a good thing I have Highway.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I really think that these are all genuinely, as I said before, love letters to the people he adores in Hollywood. And I don't know. There's nothing wrong with that, yeah. I think.
No.
But Lydia, I want to thank you so much for getting together tonight to do this. Well, today it's daytime for you. It is nighttime for me. But thank you so much, and I hope that you return for another one that does not have Toby Know in it.
I will. I'll be sure to. And thank you for having me. It was heaps of fun.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun, and I'm going to dig up those Outback menus for you. I'll send it over to you, and you can open a franchise in Australia. Do very poorly.
I could. I would. Yeah.
Are steakhouses a thing in Australia?
Well, I feel like we have this awful one called Hog's Breath. Huh. I think it's American, but I don't know. Nope, I'm wrong. It's Australian. Hog's Breath Cafe is what it's called.
I'm going to the menu. I'm just going to go to the Outback Steak, the Outback menu or whatever. Because the names of their things I remember all being kind of ridiculous.
Australian-esque.
Oh, my God. Why did they need my location to show me a menu? Jeez. they have, some of this stuff is just normal. But Victoria.
Wait, do you guys do just call it Outback?
It's just called Outback Steakhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria's Filet, I don't know why that is. The Melbourne Porterhouse. I think the burgers.
Oh, yeah.
The burgers That's are all named kind of funny. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
It's the Braised Beef Bonzerwich.
The what? Okay.
Bonzer.
I also.
Sorry, go on.
No, I think it's funny that you guys say Melbourne. It's a city in Australia, but we say Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Yeah, like Ben.
Well, it's like Maryland. Like trash. It's like Maryland is spelled like Maryland.
That's true.
Or New Orleans or something like that. I don't know. I'm butchering all of these. Or Illinois, you know, it's spelled like Illinois. It's all strange.
Oh, there's one that really bothers me. Arkansas.
We should have an episode where you read Long Island names because we have towns like Massapequa and Quag and
oh my god.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good ones. Amagansett.
What?
Seriously.
They sound like Nintendo games.
Amagansett 2. You know, it's
literally.
But here we have the sweet Chuck-O-Mine. I don't know what Chuck is.
Chuck. Like Chuck.
Yes.
It's a chicken.
It's a grilled chicken with Swiss cheese, bacon, house-made pickles. House-made. I'm not buying that for 1 second.
Chuck is a chicken.
I could have sworn they had the Toowoomba salmon.
Oh, yeah, Toowoomba.
Toowoomba.
Toowoomba's not too far from where I live. It's a heck of a name. I could have sworn
they had something that was really goofy. Aussie cheese fries, kookaburra wings, Sydney shrooms, Aussie twisted ribs.
Aussie.
Yeah, like Aussie. Aussie. Yeah.
Aussie.
Yeah. Chocolate Thunder from Down Under. So,
oh my god, I really want to go to the steakhouse.
You really have to. They used to have more fun names, like more ridiculous names, believe it or not.
Maybe they got a lot of hate mail.
I think that they were all, it was almost kind of prejudice against Australians. It seemed a little bit, it seemed, some of them seemed offensive to me. But didn't stop me from going there.
Oh, no. Just don't read whatever's on the menu. Just point me. I want this one.
But, all right. I'm going to, I'll find more. I'll dig up what it is that I found offensive. You know what? Hold on. In the non-alcoholic beverages, oh, no, they wouldn't. They have the Aussie Palmer. I wonder if they probably have, like, dessert beverages that are ridiculous. You know, like, funny, funny names. All right. Enough of this. Oh, you know what? I know where it is. In the kids' menu, I guarantee. Well, the grilled cheese-a-roo, the boomerang cheeseburger. Boomerang.
Oh, my gosh.
The macaroon cheese.
So hard. Are you kidding me?
Spotted dog sundae. What the hell does that mean? Enough of this.
A spotted dog? Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. Well, Lydia, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. And you can find Lydia hanging out on the Facebook group from time to time. And
yes.
you practically keep New York hours. So
yeah.
it's always strange.
Don't pull me out. Yeah.
It's like, wait, right. Is it like 4 a.m. where you are? And you're like, shh. You know? Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.